Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I don't see Larry, so I guess we're going to start without him. I do want to just take a minute and welcome myself back. Tracy and I have been terribly absent this summer, and we've been gone on the weekends, and we still love y'all, and we still love Jenkins, and we didn't want y'all to think that we were abandoning y'all. But it's just been a crazy summer, so we're actually looking forward to fall and getting back into a routine and having less to do that takes us away. So anyway, let's try that one more time. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Let's just make sure that we take a minute to, you know, welcome and greet all of our brothers and sisters in Christ this morning. We'll start with announcements. I have not even read the bulletin myself. Obviously, you will need to look and just mark it to the market calendars, read your bulletin. The information is there. The newsletter has come out. And Susan? And that's a blessing. Thank you. We're excited for y'all. This is a big day. The day I got baptized was one of the most exciting days of my life to date. So I hope it'll be the same for y'all. You have something to add?
Continue.
Anyone else? Any announcements? Okay. We'll go ahead at this time and just open to prayer and praise requests.
Okay, before we get there, maybe we will ask about, I mentioned, the worship order is a little different this morning. You have an insert with the Lord's Prayer, prayer of confession, call to confession, and assurance of pardon, and we just call your attention to that. We made an insert. You can do that one good time to do it, I think. And also the Apostles' Creed, the Lord's Prayer, is during the serving of communion, during the quiet time, as part of your meditation. Some weeks ago I had an inspiration or a crazy idea, you can judge what it was, that we adjust the worship service during August and be sing some heavenly songs or feel-good songs or southern gospel songs, whatever you want to call them. And so I've kind of taken the liberty to do that. If it bothers you too much, say something to me, and we will, if 15 say do 15 different things, I'm sure they couldn't do that. But we're going to try this for August, kind of be more relaxed during the August service. It is Communion Sunday, and I will state it later, but all believers are invited to eat and drink from the Lord's table.
Okay. I would like to go ahead and open at this time for prayer requests or praise requests. And I do have someone to add. It's funny, you go through life, you don't run into people, you think about people that you haven't seen in a long time. And just here recently, God has sent two people back into my life suddenly. You know, there's good to see them situation. Good to see that they're doing okay. But I met up with a friend who was one of Tucker's teachers when he was a little fella. Anyway, their names are Mike and Christy Cripps. and I'll do a card. But her husband was in a terrible car accident. A young man was going, his intention was to commit suicide. And he drove straight into her husband's car going down like a four-lane road, with like a Murfreesboro Road. And, you know, and her husband's okay, and the young man did die. And her husband's okay, but he's got like a year's worth of surgery. He's got a crushed leg. And, I mean, it's a huge deal for them. She doesn't work. He brings home the income. And you know, she looked at me. I was just like, oh, my gosh. And she said, you know what? But he's alive. And we'll get through it. So I do want to add them to the prayer list. Anyone else?
Pam Baker's dad, Don Smith. It's very serious.
Also, Mom left this morning to go with her friend Sue and Harvey are on the prayer list. I'm blank on their last name. But he's been on the prayer list. He's been suffering with cancer. Anyway, and he's dying this morning at home. And Mom has gone to be with Sue and to be there with them. So y'all keep them in your prayers. And that's a wonderful blessing, isn't it, Pam, in a way? Because y'all just haven't known for so long. At least you can move forward now, right? We'll keep y'all in our prayers. Yes, Mike. Go ahead.
I'd just like to say thank you for everyone who prayed for my mom, the Bill Thomas Harvey family. The ongoing was a wonderful celebration of his life. That little man gave his life to the Lord when he was 17 years old. He was an elder in that Presbyterian church for 15 years. And there was so much love in the room. And I thought the church was going to break out. It was a wonderful song going to celebrate. And to add to that, I would like to ask all of you to pray for our really good friend of ours, especially my name. And that's Jay Powell. Now, Jay has been on our prayers before. He is now not a captain anymore. He is a major. He's in special forces. He's an interpreter. We're going to Iraq tomorrow morning for the fourth time. This man is serving our country so that we can have freedom and good life here this morning. So will you please pray for Jay Powers, his wife Cher, and their two sons, Jack and Gabriel. I received them yesterday.
Good. And in addition to that, just all of our military, those in service, and then those families of those in service, and just don't forget what they go through and what they're doing. Clara McCoy,
we don't, but write that down, please.
Can you write that on a card for us? Do you have, okay.
That's Donna's granddaughter. Donna McCandless is his granddaughter. Callison. McCandless, Callison.
Okay. I do want to, and I told the kids in Oklahoma, the Choctaw Indian children that attended our VBS, that we love them. We love them, and we came there. This was mostly to the older kids. You know, little kids are easy, but with the older kids, they were really very challenging to us, and they didn't really get us, and they felt like we were just peddling something to them. And we had to prove to them that we weren't just peddling hooey. And we tried to tell them that we were there and we honestly loved them. We tried to really get that into them, that we love you guys. I told them, I was like, I'm gotten kind of accustomed to y'all's ugly mugs, you know, kind of a joke to them. They thought that was funny. But they did. And I told them, I said, you know, y'all's little faces and your attitudes will just be burned into our hearts or my heart forever. And I tried to explain to them that we are here and we really love you. And they're like, well, why would you love us? And I said, because y'all are our brothers and our sisters in Christ. And that is what we're called to do. We're called to love you regardless. We don't know you, but we're going to get to know you. But we loved you before we came, and we love you now, and we will continue to love you. And I really felt like that had an impact on them, that somebody could love them. The people that know them, they don't get much love in general. And I do feel like if we planted a seed, that and for them to think, it's, you know, they will remember. somebody can love us just because we're God's children. So pray for those children. Please continue to pray for them. I told them that we would. And I would really appreciate y'all's help. So. Wow,
so
that's huge.
It was a great community response, a community activity, community outreach. It was good. We're thankful.
Is there anyone else? Good to see you, Lori. Anyone? Okay. We will just take a moment. We're going to pause for silent prayer. Prepare our hearts to worship God. Please bow your heads. Hallelujah. Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Call to worship today comes from the book of Psalm 95, verses 1 and 2. Come, let us sing for the joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before Him with thanksgiving and extol Him with music and song.
Let's all stand, turning your hymnals to hymn 590, which is really just a chorus. I think most everybody knows it. This is the day the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad in it.
This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. We will rejoice.
On Jordan's stormy banks, first and last, first and last.
Mm-hmm.
Let us bow for prayer.
Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we come as hopeful people, people of anticipation, people of faith, looking forward to that day in a promised land. Not a promised land only like Joshua led the Israelites to after they escaped from Egypt, but Lord, the promise of heaven. To your near presence, a great and happy experience around your throne. Lord, your Bible tells us just a little bit about it. And Father, we trust it all to you to be a blessed place that we can truly honor and glorify you like we've never been able to do on this earth. To experience your presence like we've never been able to do while we're here in this life. Lord God, but as we are here, we come wanting to express ourselves before you, to bring glory and honor to your name through this worship service as well as through our lives. And we pray, O Lord, that you would so move in our spirits that we could do just that today. And Lord, we pray that you might prepare us to live lives that would honor and glorify you like we haven't lived before. Lord, we offer our prayer in the name of Jesus, and we just commit ourselves to you and this service to you. Amen. You may be seated.
As we turn to hymn 543, and we will sing first and last stanzas. Well, we sang, "This is the day the Lord has made," and we sang about, "I'm bound for the promised land. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there." And then now we're going, next one's going to be soon and very soon. Well, we're not getting a bus load up to go today, but we hope everybody's on their way.
Well, if it calls today, I hope we're ready, though.
That's right. Got to be ready if the bus comes by today. Just don't get on that long black train.
Okay.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and life shall be no more, and the morning darkness shall arise in fair, and the saints of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the Lord is gone to yonder, I'll be there. And the Lord is gone to yonder, when the Lord is gone to yonder, when the Lord yonder, when the Lord is gone up yonder, I'll be there. Let us wait for the Master from the dawn to the day. Let us talk to all His wonders, God in heaven. Then when all of life is over and our work the last is done, and the Lord is gone up yonder, I'll be there.
Stand up.
When the Lord when the Lord is out of yonder, when the Lord is out of yonder, I'll be there.
Amen. Okay, go ahead and sit back down. You know, we always publicize birthdays. Not very often do we have one actually falls on Sunday. We don't usually ask the ladies how old they are, but we have a birthday that fell on today. So we're going to sing happy August birthday to everybody. But Amy, happy birthday.
I wasn't going to ask.
Oh, I'm 32. No, I'm 29. Twice.
Okay. Oh, let's don't go confessing. All right.
Happy birthday to you.
551, soon and very soon.
Then we also have an anniversary that y'all thought that they're doing, I think, for 1 year.
1 year?
Yeah.
Woo! All right, I think that deserves it. That's great. What was that comedian's name years ago?
Yeah.
I love America. I love this place. Is that what he used to say? What was his phrase? Anyway, we love America. That's right. Soon and very soon, all the verses. Just three.
We are going to see the King soon and very soon. We are going to see the King soon and very soon. We are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to see the King. No more crying there. We are going to see the King.
And I must tell you, what we are singing is When the Roll is Called Up Yonder in Latin. I believe. Good point. Oh, I think we need a... Oh, okay.
Need of thee.
children's time. If the children could join us down front. There she is with Miss Andrea. And you will remain in the sanctuary. Oh, sheesh.
Well,
Our offertory sentence today comes from Philippians 4:19. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Will our ushers please come forward?
Some of the young people in this church have had, quote, religious experiences this summer, this spring, and church camp was meaningful to some of them, and their life was touched there, and their experience on the mission trip was in addition to that. I have visited with and talked with personally Jacqueline and Jessica, and they are coming this morning to publicly proclaim their faith in Jesus Christ. Basically, they've done it privately with their parents, with Susan, their youth leader, myself, and now I invite them to come publicly and let them express their faith, give a testimony if they have one. We'll ask Susan to come with them. We'll ask the parents to come with them and stand with them. And anybody else that wants to come and stand with Jacqueline and Jessica. Another young lady that has made a private profession of faith and is interested in church membership and baptism is, I'm going blank, Allie MacArthur. And she will deal with her, or talk with her, and plan a service for her at a later time. These girls just want to hear your... I said, give them a chance. They can say what they want. They said, do we have to talk? And I said, well, you can talk. So, anything about your experience or your trust in Jesus or your wanting to be baptized and come into His fellowship officially, maybe you've got something to say. Don't look at each other.
And I started going to church camp and on the mission trips, and they just really touched me, and I just decided to get baptized.
I'm with her. For a child that's not going to have to be one of
the and the questions that I'm about to ask you for church membership enable you to express your faith. They've got a... This church has been their Christian education since how long? All since you were little folks. And who's been their teachers through the years? Jane? Mama? I want to just stand up where you are. You've had an influence here in their life. Okay, we have talked about church membership questions. We've talked about baptism. We've talked about baptism by sprinkling. And we've talked about baptism by pouring. And we've talked about baptism by immersion. And they chose to be immersed. And they chose to be immersed in running water. And Wednesday, there wasn't much running water, was there? Even Friday, there wasn't much running water. And Friday afternoon, I said, now if it doesn't rain, we're going to have to do something different. Or go to a church that has a baptistry. Well, you know what happened. 5 inches or 4.8 inches right around here. And at least in subdivision, and the running water is really running yesterday. So we checked it out. We have permission to go there. We're going there at 2 o'clock at the corner of Clovercroft and Burkhalla. Right on the right there. So we'll be there. Okay. Two questions, girls. 5 questions for 2 girls, okay? But I asked them together. Do you repent of your sin and believe Jesus Christ to be your Savior and the Lord of your life? We have a sinful nature, but we also commit sins ourselves. Even teenage girls do, yeah. When they stomp their foot at their parents, okay? But do you turn away from your sin? We talk about repentance, you remember, and turn to Jesus and believe Jesus that He's died to pay for your sin. The Bible. Do you believe the Bible, the Old and the New Testament, to be the Word of God inspired by Him and given to us for us to believe in or trust in and to live by? And are we reading and studying these for guidance in living as God wants us to live or living as Christ teaches us to live? Church membership. Do you promise to be a faithful member, or maybe we should say continue to be a faithful member, by participating in worship, sharing in the ministry of witness and service, supporting the government of the church, and loving your brothers and sisters in Christ? We're going to talk about love in the sermon this morning, okay? Loving, how to love even the unlovable. Even preachers that preach long sermons, you still love Him, okay? Okay, that temptation, and we dealt with temptation a great deal, and I always do with the teenagers, because I've been there, and you've been there, and you know it's tough. And pretty girls, I think, have more tough time than anybody with those old mean boys out there, okay? So we strive to overcome temptation and weakness, to grow in knowledge and grace, and to practice love in all relationships. And as you do this, you'll be strengthened by your participation in the activities of the church. Do you? Okay, and then God has given you talents. God has given you a life. God has given you much time. And God has given you, or will give you, resources that we call money. And He asked for us to return a portion of these to Him for His service. It's already happening. I'm seeing it happening. But that you publicly affirm and recommit, or additionally commit, that you will be good stewards of what God has given you, namely life, talents, time, and money. He's entrusted you with these, and you'll give of yourself and your resources to the work of the church, that others might come to know Him too. Let's pray. Can we hold hands and kind of put your hands with us here, people, parents? Lord God, thank You for these children. They're growing to be young ladies. Thank You for Your Spirit touching them and You working in their life to convince them that You are the Savior, and to convince them that they need a Savior. And Lord, thank You for the parents. Thank You for these teachers. Thank You for the leaders, the opportunities that this church has afforded them through camps, through mission work, through local activities. Lord, we just pray Your blessings upon them, and as they grow to maturity. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Parents, have anything to say? God bless you. See you at 2 o'clock. You remember the time that you came forward. You may have come in the singing of a hymn and gave your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember my experience even today. The sacrament, two sacraments in the Reformed Church, baptism and Holy Communion of the Lord's Supper. We're going to participate in the sacrament of baptism this afternoon. We'll talk about different modes of baptism there for a moment. This morning we have opportunity to participate in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Something special. Something that hopefully teaches us a lesson that helps us remember days gone by. Jesus met with the disciples to celebrate the Passover, remembering the freedom from Egypt, that the angel of death passed over the Israelite houses because they had killed the lamb and smeared the blood of the lamb over their doorpost and on the lintel of their house. The angel of death didn't stop at those houses. He passed over. Years later, generations later, Jews were still remembering that the angel of death had passed over them because the blood of the Lamb was on the door of their house, or the entrance of their house. He didn't stop in coming, but He did go into the houses of the Egyptians, and the firstborn in each house there lost their life. That was the last plague. That was the one that finally convinced Pharaoh to let the people go, even though he changed his mind before they got to the Red Sea. He was such a changeable guy. Anyhow, Jesus and His disciples met to celebrate this, to remember this experience. And while He was there with them, He, being the Lamb of God who had come to take away the sins of the world, who had shed His blood for our sin, instituted a new supper. A new experience. We call it the Lord's Supper, the Last Supper, being the Last Supper. He shared with his disciples and said, while they were eating, Jesus took some bread and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And when he had taken the cup and given thanks, he gave it to them saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. And through his death, his broken body, shed blood, we have the blessing of the angel of spiritual death passing over us. So we do not celebrate a Passover, but in a sense, we do celebrate a Passover. I'd like the active elders to come. I believe Karen, Paul, Pete, and who else is present this morning? Not only must stay at the organ. Sherry, okay? And I need two more. Larry Barnes, will you come? And Mary Beth, will you come and assist us? Okay? Who is invited to eat from the Lord's table? All who are trusting in Him for their salvation. All who are trusting in Him for forgiveness. This blood was shed for the forgiveness of the sins of many. Matthew records Jesus saying, for the sins of many. You're included in that many if you're trusting in Jesus. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. The Apostle Paul told the Philippian jailer, we believe we are saved from the penalty of our sin. Jesus has paid it for us. Paid the penalty. Lord God, bless this bread. We remember how it's recorded that Jesus took bread, broke it, blessed it. Thank you for it. Now we ask you to bless this. In Jesus' name. Amen. People, you eat remembering the body of Christ broken for you. The cup, fruit of the vine, representing the blood of Christ shed for us. Can anybody explain how crimson blood could wash us and make us pure and white and spotless, like the drip of the snow? No, I can't. Lord Jesus, there's some mysteries, but you have the answers. We're trusting in what Jesus did on the cross, the shedding of that blood, to be payment for our sins. We do trust Him. We express that faith again, and we express it as we come here and eat and drink from this table. Thank you for the shed blood of your Son Jesus. His name. The blood of Jesus shed for the remission of your sins. Please serve the people.
your hymnals now, if you will, please, to hymn 529. Let's sing the first verse only. Oh, how I love Jesus.
Our scripture lesson today comes from Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 6. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to be one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each of us grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is, Christ. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. The word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God.
My worry this week was, or my concern was, that I not be able to cover these 16 verses in a sermon. And I won't even try. The first three, basically, is what we will deal with this morning, if you will. I come to you standing before a group of people who are believers in Jesus. Christians, we are called. That was a slander word placed on the believers in Jesus in the early days of the church. Kind of a mockery. But we're proud to be called Christians. I am. I'm convinced that you are also. Your presence here today says something about you're pleased and happy and thankful to be called Christians. Christians are called to live for Jesus. Jesus has saved us from our sin. We believe in Jesus. to be our Savior. Question, the first question I asked these girls. He has saved us from our sinful nature that became present in the fall of Adam and all who followed him. He has also saved us from the sin that we have committed. You may have seen the sign out front. The sign out front says Jesus, something to the effect that Jesus has died for your sins too. That's to tell those who drive up and down the road that we know he died for our sins. We're not just pointing a finger at them, but he also died for their sin. I added an S. But maybe I should have said died for your sin / sins. Died because of our sinful nature to redeem us from that sinfulness that became ours through our connection with Adam and Eve. And he also died to pay for our sins, those sins that we have committed. He has forgiven us. And through our forgiveness, through faith, our faith, we have been put right with God. Or in harmony with God, or in fellowship with God. We're no longer enemies of God. While we were still enemies, or yet enemies, Christ died for us, made us friends of God. Jesus even said something to the effect, no longer do he call you strangers, but friends. As Christians, we have life eternal. Or eternal life. Life that will last forever and ever, to which there will be no end. Beginning here on earth, continuing in that dwelling of God that we call heaven. We are God's redeemed people. And God calls us to live lives that will honor him and glorify him and his Son who did the dying for us. Jesus' role, his purpose, was to save us. Save us to be our Savior. But Jesus' role also was to be Lord of our life. And now, as saved people, it is our relationship with Jesus that he be our Lord as well as our Savior. That he be Lord of our life here on earth while we're still waiting for that heavenly experience, but also throughout eternity. Forever and ever. An existence that the Bible says has no end. Two parts to the gospel message as I see it. One part of the gospel message tells about Jesus and how we can experience his forgiveness. The other part of the gospel message is how we are to live as faithful disciples of this Jesus who has saved us, or who has redeemed us, who has bought us with a price. Part of his experience, his ministry, was to give us peace with God, take away the sin that separated us from God. And then the other part, knowing the peace of God, is to live as disciples of Jesus. William Barclay, Daily Bible Study Series, many of you have used it for a class book in your Sunday school class or maybe a personal study book, says that in the first three chapters of Ephesians, and we preached from them 2 weeks ago and then 3 weeks ago, the Apostle Paul dealt with the great and eternal truths of the Christian faith. and with the function of the church and the plan and design of God. He talks about what Jesus has done for us, how He has saved us. He uses many words to prove that. But then when we get to chapter 4, we find that Paul begins to sketch what each member of the church must be and must do if we are to carry out the church's responsibility in the plan and the purpose of God. Or in other words, the first three chapters of Ephesians tells us about who Christ is and what He's done for us. He has saved us. How we were before and what we are now. We're saved, we're redeemed, we are called to unity. And then generally the last three chapters tell how to live as redeemed people. In the first three verses, and that's all we will be able to cover today, first three verses, incidentally, when you get to verse 4 and 6, and we may use that next week, we left out one word. It says one Lord, or two words, one Lord. One body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith. Okay. Didn't mean to do that. But this morning, we'll just deal with verses 1 through 3. And I'll try to do it rapidly. There are five virtues that Paul gives us. There is humility. And if the Christian has one need in his or her life, and the Christian minister has one need in his or her life, it is the need for humility. I've known a few humble preachers, but most of us are as arrogant as we could be. Arrogant beyond what we ought to be. I think of Brother Harris. Humble man. Humble man. A man of humility. But he is one of the few. One of the few. Not the only one, but one of the few that I know. What is humility? It's an humble spirit. It's not proud or not arrogant. And Barclay points out that real humility comes from, number one, looking at ourselves honestly. And that's real hard to do. When we look at ourselves honestly, see all of our weaknesses and see all of our failures, we don't want to think about these. Looking at ourselves as we stand before God and looking at ourselves as we stand beside Jesus Christ, a perfect human being, but who was God at the same time, fully man and fully God, and we fall far short. He had every right to be arrogant, if anybody ever has a right to be arrogant, but still humbled himself, even for death on the cross, a cruel, terrible death, frowned upon. We are God's creation. Of ourselves, we have nothing. And seeing ourselves in this light, we are humbled, are we not? But sometimes it's difficult to see ourselves, even to look at ourselves, even to think of ourselves in this line. The second virtue is meekness. Barclay defines meekness, or the meek person, as the person who is so God-controlled that he is always angry at the right time. Yes, there is a time that the Christian must be angry in face of sin. In face of wrong, when the downtrodden are being hurt, and we need to be angry. But there's a right time to be angry and a wrong time to be angry. The person who is meek is so God-controlled that he or she is always angry at the right time, but never angry at the wrong time. How many of us can claim real meekness? A person in whom self has died and whose whole life is directed and controlled by God. Berkeley used the phrase, God's gentleman. A meek person is a person who acts like a gentleman. Gentle man or a gentle lady. A lady of a gentle spirit. And then the third virtue or characteristic that Paul calls for God's people is long-suffering or patience. One who has the power to take revenge but would never do it. Jesus had the power to call down legions of angels to rescue him from his persecutors, his killers. But he chose not to do it. He chose to be long-suffering and patient. Barclay used the illustration. It's a pretty modern illustration, though Barclay died years ago. It's an illustration of a puppy and a big dog. And many of us have had a big dog or an old dog and a puppy. And the puppy comes on the scene and the puppy yips and snips and barks and bites and irritates and does everything to upset the older dog, the mature dog, the big dog. But the big dog is just so patient, so understanding, so caring. We can learn a lot from that, I think. The spirit which can suffer unpleasant people or unpleasant little dogs and do it with graciousness. Someone said, a spirit who can suffer fools without complaint. The New Testament repeatedly uses the word for long-suffering to speak of God. The second chapter of Romans, the third chapter of 1 Peter, the third chapter of 2 Peter. Also, the New Testament uses the word for long-suffering or patience in speaking of Jesus in 1 Timothy 1. And then the fourth characteristic is love. God-like love. How many sermons have you heard or have I tried to preach on three kinds of love, and then every once in a while somebody will throw a fourth one in? But the three that we hear most about is eros. That's sexual love. Emotional love. Then there is filio or phileo, brotherly love. Love like a brother or a sister for each other. And then there is agape. Agape love. That's God kind of love. Love beyond what we can usually attain to. Loving even the people we do not like. Always seeking the highest good of every person. Love. The virtue that as Christians we are called to. And then take these four and put them together and they usher in peace. Someone said that peace can exist only when we cease to make self the center of things and when we think more of others than we do of ourselves. When self dies and Christ springs to life within our hearts, then and then only does there come peace. The oneness, the togetherness, which is the great hallmark of the Christian faith. How interested are we in living as Christians are called to live by God's holy word? Let us pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father,
We thank you that you sent Jesus. And we thank you that the book, the Bible, tells us about this. And we thank you for those people who brought that message to us and explained it to us. So many came together to get through to us. And we could believe and be saved and be prepared for heaven. And Lord, we also thank you that you have called us to live a special way, to be different. Lord, we find it so difficult. We find it sometimes so frustrating. But we know that it's right and good, and it brings glory and honor to you. And we thank you, Lord, that we can participate in life as your people. Now we pray, Lord, for this congregation. If there be one here who has not trusted you, we pray that you would give them that faith right now, in these moments. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together and sing a song of commitment. I'll live for him. And think about these five virtues or characteristics: love, long-suffering, meekness, humility, and peace. And maybe you have a public response to make this morning to God's invitation and challenge to you. If you do, please make it here in the altar. I'll meet with you and pray with you. May the Lord bless you and keep you, cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace and enable you to live as special people glorifying Him. Amen.